Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So here we are. We'll continue. By losing this unity of light, Adam turned himself upside down and formed night, weaknesses, passions for himself and for all the human generations. So that's where we are right now. We are really upside down. And you know what's happening in our society. That which is always considered sin is now not sin. Everything's upside down. And Jesus wants us to know that he's going to correct everything, but he has to see what people want. So he's asking each and every one of us, what do you want? And our response should be, I want what you want, Jesus. I want your life reigning in me. I want your mother's life reigning in me. When we do this, Jesus says, are you sure? And we say, yes, I'm sure. Then he says, okay, what about this situation? Do you want me living here or you living here? What about this situation? Do you want my mother ruling or are you going to rule? So that the Lord, he wants us to understand that like Adam, we're upside down. Like Adam, we're in the darkness. Like Adam, our weaknesses are in charge. Like Adam, our passions are in charge. And we can see this in our children. We can see this with our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners. We see this in our extended family. Every family is going through horrendous things. Every family. And Jesus is asking us, do you want to stop this? Do you want to have a happy family, a holy family? And when we say yes, then Jesus says the solution is to correct what Adam had done. Okay, and that's the thing that is so important at this point. To correct what Adam has done is to go back to using our free will so that the divine will reign. Every family, nobody has it easy. Every family is affected by sin, by weakness, by passions, this darkness that's around them. I don't know how many of my friends, the children that are involved with drugs, alternative lifestyles, alcohol, pornography. You look around and everyone is going through horrible situations, which have never happened before. The television shows, I mean, every show is promoting that a sin. I remember when friends of mine went to see the Titanic and they said, oh, it's won every award. The Titanic committed every one of the Ten Commandments was broken, and it won all the awards. And we honor sin. You know, Scripture says in Psalm 100, it says, do not let the thief, the murderer, or the adulterer into your house. Do not let them into your house. And with television, the spirit of murder, the spirit of thievery, the spirit of adultery is in your house. You know, that going back to, you know, coming down from the mountain, you know what Jesus said to the apostles. Television to no one. It's very important that we make sure that we don't let those spirits into our house. It's very, very important. So people say, well, I like these, you know, television. I like television. Well, the thing that Jesus has given us is the book of heaven. This is what Jesus has given us. And if you spend the time reading rather than watching TV in front of the hypnotic eye of death, That television, as Our Lady said at La Salette, is the black tabernacle that everyone will worship in each house. What we do is, when we put that aside and we begin to focus on reading, and if you have trouble reading, you can get dream. What is it, Joe? Dream voice. You can download Dream Voice, and you can it'll be read to you. You can have the volumes. You can listen to the volumes in your car. You can listen to the volumes at home. Instead of having all that which is upside down coming into our lives, have this the unity of the light of the divine will enter into you. By never doing her own human will, Mary, this excelling virgin, remained always straight, Mary facing the eternal Son. It was always daylight for the Blessed Mother. Mary made the day of the Son of Justice arise for all generations. If Mary, this queen, had done nothing else but preserve the unity of the light of the eternal volition and the depth of her immaculate soul, this would have been enough to give us back the glory of everyone, the acts of everyone, the requital of love of everyone in creation, all of creation. Through the Blessed Mother, by virtue of my divine will, the divine divinity felt come back to itself. The divine joys, the divine happiness, which the divine will had established to receive through creation. Therefore, the Blessed Mother can be called the Queen, the Mother, the Foundress, the Base, and the Mirror of my divine will, in which all can reflect themselves to receive its life from the Blessed Mother. Now, that's why you should have an image of Our Lady inside and outside of your house. And why? The new life of Jesus, the new life of Mary is essential. That we begin to want this and desire it. I remember people asked me to consecrate their house to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This was probably 30 years ago. And I get to this house, and it's a mansion. It's huge. It's unbelievably beautiful. It has everything that you could possibly imagine or want in a house. And they said, Father, would you consecrate our house to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? I said, okay. Where's your picture of Our Lady? Where's your statues of Jesus and Mary? And they go, oh, and they ran to the room. They came back with a 2-3-inch plastic statues of Jesus and Mary. And I looked at them and I said, you call yourself Catholic? And you come up with this little teeny statue? I said, look at your house. This is for you. And what do you give to them? This little teeny statue? I was never invited back to the house. But it was just shocking. You know, where is Jesus in your life? Where is Mary in your life? Do you want everyone to know Jesus and Mary? You know, a friend of mine, I went to this house, and they built, it was like there's an archway over the house. And I said, what are you going to put up there? Because it's just an empty spot. And they said they were going to put the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary there. And I said, that's tremendous. You're saying to everyone that comes by, this is who I adore. This is who I love, Jesus and Mary. It's very important. If you have a statue of Our Lady, make sure she is crowned. She's our queen. She's our mother. And as Jesus says, everyone reflects themselves to receive this light of life and of love through Mary. After this, I felt as though soaked with this light, and I comprehended the great prodigy of living in the unity of the light of the supreme volition. So that sentence right there is important for us. As you read, you're going to feel soaked with this divine light, and you're going to begin to comprehend the great prodigy of living in the unity of the light of the supreme volition. And you know, that sentence there, you could write to someone, you know, happy birthday, and I hope someday that you comprehend the great prodigy of living in the unique delight of the living. They're going to go, what the heck are you talking about? But what you're doing is you're introducing it to them. This is so amazing that for all eternity we're going to be talking about this gift. Because it's endless. It's not to be a good and holy and saintly person. It's to go beyond that. It's to live the life of Jesus, to live the life of Mary, to live the life of God. Not that we become God, but we're in God's image and likeness. And my sweet Jesus coming back added, my daughter Adam in the state of innocence and my celestial mother possessed the unity of the light of my divine will. So Adam in the Garden of Eden possessed the unity of the light of the divine will. So in your prayer, like we read this morning, in your prayer, you can go back with Adam to the garden. You can go back with Adam and you can echo, as Jesus said, his words, his first words to my God, my Father, my Creator. I love you, I love you, I love you. To repeat these words, we can go back to the words of Our Lady, fiat voluntas, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. I want to please God in all things. See, your relationship with Jesus and Mary is going to become so amazing that you're going to want to make sure that Jesus and Mary are honored in your house and outside of your house. You're going to want to make sure that everyone knows Jesus is your King, Mary is your Queen and Mother. So he says, not by their own virtue, but the virtue by, not by their own virtue, but by virtue communicated by God. God by nature, Adam and Mary by grace. On the other hand, my holy humanity, Jesus said, possessed by its own virtue, because in it there was not only the unity, the light of the supreme volition, but there was the eternal word, Jesus Christ. And since I am inseparable from the Father and the Holy Spirit, the true and perfect bivocation occurred while I, God, remained in heaven. I, God, descended into the womb of my mother Mary. And since the Father and the Holy Spirit are inseparable for me, they too descended into the womb of the Blessed Mother. At the same time, they remained in the heights of heaven. So when we look at Mary, we see God. When we look at Mary, we see the mother, the daughter of the Father. We see the mother of the Son. We see the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. This is why we honor her. She has a unique role in the life of the Holy Trinity. She's not God, but she is Theotokos. She's the mother of God. And this is what's so beautiful about being Catholic. They want us to know Mary. The Father wants us to know about his beautiful daughter. The Son wants us to know about his beautiful mother. The Holy Spirit wants us to know about his beautiful spouse and temple, Mary. This is why we honor her. And this is why, thank God, God has given us the opportunity to be Catholic. Volume 19, 7, 26, 26. Now the Son is the image of my divine will. And again, the Green Book from the Vatican. When I saw that cover, I went, oh my goodness. Because I was always, in talking about the divine will, you know, it's like walking on eggshells. You said, what? But when the Vatican says, Luisa is the Son of my divine will, when the Vatican says this, that means they're really into this. For them to say the Son of my will, the light of God, is Luisa Picaretta. This is saying, this is extraordinary. I was so happy when I first saw that what Jesus is saying here, now the Son is the image of my divine will, and more than Son shoots its rays to convert those who want to live in its kingdom completely into light and love. See, There is, do not limit God. Don't say, well, I'm not sure. God says, fine, then you can't have it. See, he looks for the fiat. So when I read this, the sun is the image of my divine will, which more than sun shoots its divine rays to convert those who want, I want, to live in the divine, in this kingdom completely, into light, into love. I want this fiat, fiat, fiat. God says, it's yours. See, all he's looking for is yes. Do you want? Jesus says, do you want this? And when we say yes, he says, it's yours. Now, I could stop there, and God gave me what I wanted. But he says, continue. I've got so much more to give you. Continue to read. Continue to say fiat. Continue to enter into this gift. This is unending. This is heaven on earth. So he says he wants to give it to the souls who want it. Do we want it? Yes, we want this. And we have to say that to Jesus. Just don't read it and go, the son of my image, my divine will, is more than son. Oh, that was nice. It's like, I want this. Jesus says, I'm going to give it to those who want it. And then he's waiting. Yes, I want it. I want it. We have to respond back to him. He's speaking to us through Louisa. These people are the image of the 4 degrees of living in my divine will. One can say that the first one does not live in its kingdom, but only the light which from my kingdom, the son of my divine will diffuses to all. Okay, so here is the first, okay? It'll show you. One can say that he is on the outside of its boundaries, and if he enjoys a limited light, it is because of the nature of light which diffuses everywhere. His nature, his weaknesses, his passions form as though a house around him. They form infected and putrid air. And in breathing it, he lives sickly and without the liveliness of strength of doing God. But in spite of all this, he is resigned. He bears to his best the encounters of life, because the light of my divine will, mild as it may be, always brings its good. So basically, we're inside a house and the windows are closed, and that's where most people are. They're sickly, putrid air. You're saying, okay, I'm here. I'm on earth. I'm not going to kill myself today. And that's where most people are. The second is the image of one who has entered the first steps of the boundaries of the kingdom of the supreme will. This one enjoys only more light, but also the heat. And therefore, the air he breathes is pure, and in breathing it, he feels the passions die within him. He is in constant good. He bears the crosses, and not only with resignation, but with love. Okay, so this person has opened up a window, and the air is coming in, and the other light is coming in. And it's easier for him. He's trying to be good. He's bearing his crosses with resignation. Okay, I got to go through this. I have a pain in my side, but I'm going to go through it because God has asked me to do it. Resignation. However, since he is at the first steps of his boundaries, he looks at the earth and feels the weight of human nature. On the other hand, the third is the image of the one who has advanced into its boundaries of this kingdom. Okay? So the third is he goes outside. He's opened the door and he's left the putrid house. He's opened the window. The air is coming in. Now he goes outside and he's in the sun. Okay? He advances into the boundaries of the kingdom, and its light is such and so great as to make him forget everything. He forgot about the putrid smell in the house. He forgot about the rats and the spiders. He's out into the world and it's beautiful. He no longer feels anything of himself, goods, virtues, crosses, change into his own nature. The light eclipses him. The light transforms him and just barely allows him to look from afar at to what no longer belongs to him. So he sees his house and is farther away. The putrid smell is gone. The dampness is gone. He's in the light. He's smelling the flowers. Everything is changing for him. The fourth is the happiest. Now we're going to hear about Louisa. That's where the saints left their misery, opened, tried to get air of the Gospels. They walked outside, and they're now in with the sacraments, and their lives are much happier, the sacraments and sacramentals, than their putrid house. Now Jesus is going to talk to us about Louisa. The fourth is the happiness, because he is the image of the one who not only lives in my kingdom, but has acquired it. This one undergoes a total consumption in the Supreme Son of my divine will. The eclipse caused by its light is so intense that he himself becomes light, becomes heat. Nor does he look at anything else but light and fire. And all things convert for him into light and into love. That's Louisa. She's now entered into the Son. She's not on earth. She's entered into the Son of God, S-U-N, of the divine will. She has become light. She has become heat. He looks at everything as light and fire. Everything converts for Louisa into light and love. See, this is what Adam had. Adam had this life of God, image and likeness of God. And everybody's been trapped in their house in the putrid smell. And Jesus comes and he opens up the window. Jesus comes and he opens up the door and he asks us to come out. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to become light. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. I want you to become heat. I want you to see light and fire. What is this? This is the life of God, the love of God. He wants us to participate in this. And that's what the divine will is. We have left the shanty house, the putrid house, the house filled with rats, and we walked out into the Son, which is the Catholic Church, into the light and the light, the life, the love of God. And now Jesus is saying, now I want to bring you to myself, where you were originally planned to live in my image and likeness. This is what's so great about this gift. Therefore, there shall be a difference of degrees in the kingdom of my divine will according to how much the souls want to take from its goods. So that's why I said, don't limit God. If you say to God, well, I doubt that, God says, fine, I can't give it to you. What does he say to the people that are healed? He says, because of your faith, you are healed. Because of your yes, you are healed. And that's the same thing with us. As you read about this gift, God will give you as much as you want. But if you say, well, I really doubt it, because he doesn't want to give it to me, God says, fine, I can't. See, God wants to see from us, hear from our lips, fiat. And that's why throughout the day, saying to Jesus, fiat, let it be done. You're driving down the street, a car pulls in front of you. Instead of giving the Italian salute, you can say fiat. Instead of getting angry, it's fiat. Let it be done as you say. You are my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. You're in charge of my life. If this is what you want, so be it. I want it. This is the freedom. And that's why he says, you can take as much as you want. But the first degrees shall be spurs and paths in order to reach the last one. For you, Louisa, then, who must make the divine will known, there is always the necessity to live in the last degree, in the Son, in the light of the Son of the divine will. Now, since we want to be apostles of the divine will, then we link ourselves to Louisa, and he says, you also must make the divine will known. To whom? To your family? Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your co-workers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. Who are you to make this known to? It's to you. When you spend the time focused on this, when you are reading and studying and put this into practice, you will find the necessity to live in the last degree. into the Son of the divine will. This is what God has planned. This is what He has planned from the beginning of time. Volume 19, 8, 4, 26. The teachings I give you, Louisa, about the kingdom of my divine will shall be like many electric wires, which are such that when the appropriate communications are established and the necessary preparations are made, a single wire is enough to give light to entire cities and provinces. So, everything to this point has been planned by God. Us becoming Catholic, us becoming faithful, us becoming obedient, is the appropriate communications that are established and necessary. These are being made for us. Now, this single wire comes from Jesus and Mary and Louisa to bring this light to us and to everyone around us. Jesus said, it's already accomplished. Everything is done. He says, now it has to be known. Who has to know it? We have to know it. Not your family, not your friends, not your neighbors, not your coworkers, because they don't want it. I mean, I've talked to, and usually when I talk to 100 people, at the end, 10 people will say, that's really great, and 2 people will read. Why? Because it's interesting. I mean, Herod wanted to see Jesus. He was interested to see who he was. But what we are called to do is to go beyond where our family is, to go to be beyond where our friends are. It's to embrace this as our everything. Why? Because it becomes our everything. It becomes everything that we could ever imagine. The power of the electricity with rapidity greater than that of the wind gives light to public and private places. So, the teachings about my divine will shall be the wires, the power of the electricity shall be the fiat itself with which enchanting rapidity shall form the light and shall cast away the night of the human will. So the night of the human will disappears from us. Our passions, our weaknesses, our miseries, our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativities, our sins are like water off a duck's back. You're going to be astonished. It shall form the light, it shall cast away the night of the human will, the darkness of the passions, and oh, how beautiful the light of my divine will shall be. In seeing it, souls shall dispose the devices in their souls in order to connect the wires of the teachings so that as to enjoy and receive the power of the light that the electricity of my supreme will contains. See, the power of the light from God is going to flow through us. And he says it's just going to be like electrical wires. The light of God is going to reign in us. How? Well, what Jesus and Mary, the truths of Jesus and Mary that they taught to Louisa coming to us. See, this is why you will live a happy life, a peaceful, joyful, happy life. While all the rest of the world is going to be wailing and grinding their teeth of what's coming, we will be saying, Fiat, I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I have confidence in you, Jesus. Do you want to see what shall happen? Look. I, God, take one wire of my teachings linked to your soul, Louisa, and you emit your voice within the wire. I say, I love you, I adore you, I bless you. Whatever you want to say, and be attentive on looking. So we are repeating what God says to us. God says to us, I love you, I adore you. God says to us, The prayer that we're supposed to say, I love you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Whatever you want to say, and be attentive on looking on. So we look at Jesus. We look at him crucified. If we are complaining, it's because we have not looked at Christ crucified. He is the one who has suffered. He is the Lord, the Son of God. He is innocent. Yet he took upon himself our sins. If we are complaining, it's because we haven't spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We haven't looked at our Eucharistic prisoner of love, who is imprisoned himself, not even breathing, so that we can be with him. See, John Paul II said in 1980, he said he wanted all the parishes to have Eucharistic adoration. Why? He says that's the completion of you receiving him. You receive him and spend time looking at him. And it's not a time to be reading books. It's not a time for reading books. It's a time for falling in love with God. This is very, very important. If you're there for an hour, you know, break it up into four sections. And the one way you can do that was with Acts, A-C-T-S. The first 15 minutes adore God. The second 15 minutes be contrite, be sorry for your sins. The third 15 minutes thank God for what he has given to you, given to the church. And then finally, the fourth 15 minutes, supplication, petitions. So you adore him and you're contrite, you're thanking him and you're supplicating him. Now, what you do is find 15 things that you can thank God for, adore God for, be contrite for, or supplicate for. 15 things. And if a minute is too long to spend time adoring God for one thing, cut it into two. Do 30 seconds and 30 seconds of adoring him for something. You know, maybe his Blessed Mother, maybe for the teachings of the church, maybe for this year of mercy. You know, then what you do is that hour will disappear within minutes because you are in communication with God. You're falling in love with God. You're adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him. It's not a place to read a book. Most time when in chapel, people are reading a book and looking at their watch. Well, I've only got 58 minutes left. You know, now I only got 37 minutes left. It's not to, I put my time in. It's to fall in love with Jesus. Like I said before, every room should have a cross in it. This room belongs to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and my Savior and my God. This room belongs to him. This garage belongs to him. Everything should be turned over to him to help you remember we're only here temporarily. We're here to get ready for eternity. And so therefore, we want to see the things all around us that Jesus has given to us and we've given back to him. This is your house. This is your business. This is your car. Whatever you have, this is yours, Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you. I don't know how many times the cars that I've had that just wouldn't start, and I go, I'm trying to get it going. I say, Lord, this is your car. And it starts right up. You know, it belongs to him. This one person, he gave over his business, and I said, give it to Jesus. Let Jesus be the CEO. You just sit back and watch Jesus work. And then a few years later, he comes and he says, somebody wants to buy it. And I said, well, what does Jesus say? He goes, well, I don't know. So I said, pray. And he comes back and he goes, they want to offer me way too much money for this. I said, well, does Jesus want you to sell it? You know, I asked him. And what had happened was it was astronomically beyond. And the price that they gave him was just unbelievable. And why? It belonged to Jesus. The business belonged to Jesus. You know, it's the same thing. When we take something and we worry about it, it's no longer God's. And then what do? With worry, you can have a heart attack, you can have a stroke, you can have an ulcer. Or you can say to Jesus, it's yours. You take care of it. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. See, it's to surrender to Jesus. So this is what he's doing. To go beyond that is to say to Jesus, what Jesus wants us to say. I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you. Whatever you want to say to the Lord, be attentive on looking on. So we look at Jesus in the monstrance. I adore you. We look at Jesus on Christ crucified. I adore you. See, that's why, especially during Lent, you know, Mel Gibson got a great movie out there, and you see how the devil went after him. Well, we have to see Jesus crucified. He wanted his mother there. He wanted his blessed mother to watch him die. He wanted her to see how much he loves us. And Mary wanted him dead. Because either he died or we died. I mean, she sacrificed her own son. So it's important during Lent, if you have the Passion of the Christ, read it. I mean, watch it. If you have the 24 hours of the Passion, read it. You have to see Jesus die. That's why the Muslims when they kill somebody, they have the women and the children watching. The Muslims want you to participate in the murder with your eyes. What Jesus wants is he wants us to participate in his redemption of what he did. And when we participate in watching him die, what happens at that point is we fall in love with Jesus. Again, it's important, you know, to look at Christ crucified. And it's not by chance that we have the Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. It's not by chance. But watch it. Don't say, oh, it's too much for me. I can't take it. You wimp. He made his mother stand there and watch him die. And without watching him die, you're going to always complain. You're going to complain about this. You're going to complain about that. Why? Because you don't know how much God loves you. Because you refuse to watch it. It's very, very important. You have to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You have to spend time in front of Christ crucified. That's where you can say with your whole heart, mind, and soul, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. See, by seeing what Jesus has done. I said, I love you, and that I love you changed the characters of light and the electric power of the supreme volition. Multiply that I love you in such a way that the I love you of light would go through the whole vault of heavens, fix itself in the sun, fix itself in each star, penetrate into the heaven, fix itself in each of the saints, each of the blessed, forms its crown of light at the foot of the divine throne and enters even into the bosom of the supreme majesty. In sum, everywhere the divine will was, they would form its electric light of I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I adore you. This is what God is looking for. He says, this is what I want. He says, this divine will help you fall in love with God. This divine will help you let go of the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and embrace the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Volume 20, 10, 13, 26. My daughter, each act, each prayer, each pain that the soul makes enters into the light of my divine will. Each of them becomes light and forms one more ray in the sun of the eternal volition. These rays form the most beautiful glory that the creature can give to the divine fiat in such a way that seeing itself so glorified by its own light, it invests these rays with new knowledges that converting into voices manifest to the soul more surprises about my divine will. So every act will turn into a voice. Every prayer will turn into a voice. Every praying will turn into a voice, which will manifest to us the more beautiful surprises of God's most holy divine will. It all depends what we want. If we want to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will, God is going to perform things that are going to astonish us. This is what he has planned. But do you know what these knowledges of mind form for the creature? They form the eclipse for the human will. Okay, no longer is the human will going to be in charge of us. The stronger the light is, the more rays there are, and the more strongly the human will remains dazzled and eclipsed by this divine light of these knowledges of Jesus in such a way that it almost feels impotent to act and gives field to the action of the light of the divine will. The human will, being impotent, will remain occupied within the action of my divine will, and the human will lack the time, the place, to make its own human will act. See, it's what's going to happen is God's going to free us from our misery. He says that in the three appeals. He says, I know how you are living, and I'm tired of it. And since you haven't come after me, Jesus says, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to wage a war of love against you. And it's not a war of blood. And you will not be able to push me away again. So you can imagine what's coming. God is going to wage war against us, and we will not be able to push him away ever again. That's this manifestation of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we were allowed to live at this time. We're here because we've been predestined by God to live at this time. So don't be overwhelmed by what science says or what humans say. Trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus, hope in Jesus, have confidence in Jesus, and watch him work, because he's going to work very, very powerfully, and he wants to work within us. So we'll end there for the next 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.